want to begin reading in Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 14. It's wonderful to see you all here. We have some visitors here this morning. We want to welcome you. Thank you for coming. It's always good to see visitors here. Isaiah chapter 28, and let's start reading in verse number 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless this time, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, as we study and read your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you bless the message, use it. I pray that you speak to hearts this morning through your word, Lord, and may your Holy Spirit have free course to move in the midst of your people here this morning. And I pray if there's anybody here this morning that is not saved, it's never been born again, Lord, I pray that you would convict that one person or those persons, Lord, of their need for salvation, Lord, and may they come to know Christ today before they leave this building, Lord. May they have made that decision, Lord, that all-important decision to trust Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the good singing we've heard already this morning, Lord. As Lord, it's prepared our hearts for the message. Lord, I pray that our ears and hearts would be open now to receive the message that you have for us from your word. In your name we pray. Amen. In these verses, the prophet Isaiah is addressing the false confidence of those who had made lies their refuge and falsehood their hiding place. According to verse number 14, Isaiah is primarily speaking to the leaders in Jerusalem. Apparently these rulers had rejected the word of God and had led the people astray from the Lord God. Yet somehow they were convinced, they had convinced and they had deceived themselves into believing that the judgment of God would not come against them. They weren't at all concerned about being held accountable for their actions. There was no fear of God before their eyes here, and they sincerely believed that they would escape the judgment of God that was to come. They had deceived themselves into thinking that they were going to be protected from the wrath to come. But the prophet Isaiah tells them in verse 17 that the refuge of lies they were trusting in would be swept away. Their hiding place would be destroyed because it was based on falsehood instead of based upon the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to preach this morning on some of the refuges of lies that people have made their hiding places today. There's the refuge of fading riches. Jesus in Luke chapter 12 told the story about a rich man who was running out of room to store all of his goods. So he decided that he was going to tear down his old barns and he was going to build bigger ones to take their place. And after he had done that, he said to himself, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." He made riches his refuge, and because he had money in the bank and because he had much goods laid up for many years, he had convinced himself into thinking that he was in no danger. But at that very moment, the Bible says God was up in heaven saying, "Thou fool, this night shalt thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall these goods be which thou hast provided?" The rich man was trusting in the wealth that he had gathered and the wealth that he had accumulated to see him through. And there's a lot of people like that today who are heaping unto themselves worldly possessions that they can't take with them when they die instead of laying up for themselves treasure in heaven. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What good is it to make riches your refuge if in the end you lose your soul. See, a person can't buy their way into heaven. Many a poor beggar has died and entered heaven's gates rich towards God, while many a rich person has died and gone to hell spiritually bankrupt. Luke chapter 16, we find the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a beggar, and he sat in front of the rich man's gate, and he desired to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And Lazarus, he may have been a poor man spiritually, but in God's eyes, he was rich. Amen. He was a rich man spiritually. Lazarus knew God. And when Lazarus died, the Bible says the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom, and he was comforted. Well, that same night, the rich man closed his eyes, surrounded by all of his wealth and all of his worldly possessions. And the Bible says when he opened them again, he was in hell. The Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. His money was worthless to him now. All of his material possessions that he had could not help him. His houses, his wealth, his lands was no comfort to him at all. People who make riches their refuge are going to find out one day that they made a big mistake, because the belief that money is the key to happiness is nothing but a refuge of lies. Jesus said to in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." We're to set our affections on things above. We're not to make money our refuge. We're not to trust in uncertain riches. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 5, we're to be rich in faith. There's a lot of people out there that have made riches, fading riches, their refuge. And while some have made fading riches their hiding place, others have made foolish reasoning their refuge. The people to whom Isaiah is prophesying here in our text were convinced in their own minds that they had nothing whatsoever to fear. They said in verse 15, "We have made a covenant with death. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us." Like a lot of people today, they had tricked themselves into believing that they were somehow invincible. Their philosophy was, hey, eat, drink, and be merry. We can do whatever we want. If it feels good, do it. There are no consequences. No one's going to hold us accountable. There are no absolutes. God is not real. His Word is not the final authority. His Word is out of date. We're free to make up our own minds about what is right and about what is wrong. They made foolish reasoning their hiding place. And these are some of the very same philosophies that so many people today are hiding behind and trusting in. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Yet young people today are being fed the lie that God is not real. There are no absolutes, and they are free to make up their own minds about what is right and wrong. They're free to make up their own rules about how to live their lives. Now the problem with that kind of thinking is that it tears down morality, it removes all boundaries, and it eliminates responsibility. So many young people today have the idea that this life is all there is, and that there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, and once they die, hey, that's it. It's over. That's why most young people today are living like wild animals. They live for self-gratification and pleasure. They do what they want to do when they want to do it. If it feels good, they do it. Doesn't matter who they hurt. They shack up, they fornicate, they get drunk, smoke dope, tell people who want to live right and try to discourage them and make fun of them, call them squares. Their attitude is, don't let life pass you by. Hey, just have fun. Live your life to the fullest. But I've got news for that crowd. That's not living. That's not living. And one day a lot of people are going to find out that they were deceived into making foolish reasoning their refuge. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." This crowd that thinks when they die that's it, they're in for a rude awakening someday. And they're not going to get away with anything. God is going to hold them accountable as He will hold all of us accountable, and they're going to get exactly what they deserve. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 6 and 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." This crowd that's out there this morning sowing their wild oats, they're going to reap a harvest of thorns and thistles. You reap what you sow. Those who make foolish reasoning their refuge will not be protected from God's judgment. This world's philosophy is nothing more than a refuge of lies. Let me give you one more refuge of lies that Satan has deceived so many people into believing today. And that's the refuge of false religion. The people of Isaiah's day had forsaken the one true God. They had gone off and they had worshipped false idols and false gods. They had forsaken and cast off the word of God and the commandment of the Lord. And they had embraced false religions, the false teachings and the false doctrine of other nations and other peoples. They were trusting in a false gospel. They had made false teaching their refuge. Instead of listening to the prophet Isaiah speak the word of the Lord faithfully, they listened to the false prophets and the false teachers of their day prophesy smooth things and speak lies. Hearing God's word had become a wearisome thing to them. They had grown tired of hearing sound doctrine and they wanted something new and exciting and they didn't want to be convicted. They didn't want to have the word of God convict them of their sin. They wanted to have their ears tickled, so they forsook the truth and made lies their refuge. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that the same thing would happen in the last days. He said, the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What are some of these fables that men and women will turn to in the last days? Well, there are a lot of people today who are trusting in the lie that if they are good enough, they'll make it to heaven. If I'm just good enough, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I'll get into heaven. But that's nothing more than a refuge of lies, because the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. The Bible teaches that we can't earn salvation by our own good works or deeds, or we can't earn salvation by the good things that we do. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are many different religions out there in the world today. I mean, there's so many out there that you can't keep track of them now, but there are really only two beliefs concerning salvation, concerning how a person receives eternal life and gets to heaven. One side believes that they'll make it to heaven based on what they do for God. And that's most of your false religions. That's most of your cults today, and I'm not going to name them. But most of your religions, most of your denominations will teach that a person can get to heaven based on what they do for God. Well, the other side believes there's only their only hope of getting to heaven is in what God has done for them. And that's the side I'm on this morning. I'm not hoping for eternal life based on my own goodness. I've got God's promise of eternal life based solely on what Jesus Christ has done for me. The belief that we can be good enough to make it on our own apart from God's mercy and grace is nothing more than a refuge of lies. And then there are people trusting in the lie that religious profession is enough. They think that just believing in God or a God is all that a person needs to make it through to the next life. But that isn't just another one of Satan's refuges of lies that he has deceived people into believing and putting their faith and trust in. You see, an outward profession without an inward possession is worthless. It's meaningless. Just professing to be a Christian does not make a person a Christian. Salvation is a matter of the heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You either have Christ in your heart this morning or you don't. You're either saved this morning or you're not. You're either going to heaven this morning when you die or you're not. You're either one of God's children or you're not. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There are a lot of people today trusting in the lie and the refuge of lie that outward profession is enough. But that's a lie. And then there are a lot of people today trusting in the lie that you can have a saved soul without a changed life. They think they can cry a tear and pray a prayer on Sunday morning and live like the devil the rest of the week and they'll be all right. But that's not Bible salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When a person gets born again, there's a change that takes place in that person's life. I don't believe in this come as you are, leave like you were, no commitment, no change Christianity that we're seeing everywhere today. Real salvation will produce a change in the life of a person. Check it out for yourself. In the Bible, every time a person met the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledged Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, their lives were forever changed. I'm reminded of the demon-possessed, naked, crazy man in Mark chapter 5. I know this is an extreme example, but I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. This guy, he met Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He was a mess. I mean, everyone had given up on this guy ever living a normal life. He lived among the tombs, the Bible says. He was always crying and cutting himself with stones. But the day Jesus healed him, the day Jesus touched him, the Bible says after his conversion that he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That's what Jesus will do in the life of a sinner. His days and nights in the tombs were over. His association with evil was through. Jesus made a difference in his life. He was permanently, forever changed. He was never the same. That's the kind of change that takes place in the life of a person after they have begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can't have a saved soul and an unchanged life. That's a lie of the devil. Religious profession is not enough. Just professing to be a Christian is not enough. You have to possess the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And no one is good enough to make it to heaven. We've all sinned. We all need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. While false religion has become a refuge of lies for so many people today, and so many people have been deceived into thinking that their own way is right, I'm glad this morning that God has given you and me a solid foundation for us to build our lives upon. He said in verse 16, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In contrast to the lies people have deceived themselves into believing, God has laid for us, God has given to us a firm foundation for our lives. Because we are incapable of providing the right kind of spiritual foundation for our lives, God has laid for us a true foundation for us to build upon. And that foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a sure foundation to all those who put their trust and their faith in Him. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth shall not be confounded. Jesus Christ is the only secure, the only safe, the only stable foundation we can trust in. All other ground is sinking sand. He's a tried stone. Christ was tested and tried. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He was obedient to the Father in all things, in every area. He's the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone provides the pattern for the rest of the construction. The cornerstone is straight and true, and everything in the entire building lines up with the cornerstone. And if Christ is the cornerstone of your life this morning, then everything in your life will line up with Him. He is a precious cornerstone. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Because He is our chief cornerstone, because He's our sure foundation, because He's the rock of our salvation, He should be precious to us. We ought to love Him. We ought to appreciate Him. We ought to live to serve Him. We ought to value Him. We ought to wonder and awe at Him. And He should be first in our lives in every area above all else. The Lord Jesus Christ is a sure foundation and we can build on Him without fear. The Bible says, He that believeth shall not make haste. The person who makes Christ their refuge, their foundation, will not be disappointed in the day of trouble. The Bible says, He that believeth shall not be confounded. The wicked leaders of Jerusalem made lies their refuge and tried to hide themselves under falsehood. But their refuges of lies were swept away by the storms of life and God's judgment because they had built on the wrong foundation. God warned them in verse 17 when He said, "Judgment will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place." God sent Isaiah to warn these people that they had built upon an unsure foundation and that they had deceived themselves into believing that they were going to be all right. And Isaiah faithfully went. He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." He said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go. I'll tell these people, even though they're not going to listen, even though they're not going to hear." But you know what our job is as Christians is to be out there warning people. That's what Isaiah's job was. I mean, it wasn't a popular job. And I'm sure there was times when Isaiah was, wondering if this was his calling for sure in life. But hey, he was faithful to do what God had called him to do and what God had commanded him to do. And he sounded the warning. He sounded the warning. He told those people, "Hey, if you keep on going the way that you're going, you're going to perish. This is the right way. This is what the Word of God has to say. This is what you need to be doing." Whether they listened or not, Isaiah was faithful to preach and proclaim the message of truth to those people. And I thank God that He has given us His Word. And we can go and we can read and we can find out exactly what God expects from us. We can find out what God says about salvation and how to be saved. God warned these people by sending Isaiah to proclaim His Word that the refuge of lies that they had built themselves, and they had the false foundation that they had laid for themselves, was going to be destroyed. It would not stand. It would not last. Just like the foolish man in Matthew chapter 7 who built on the sand, and the Bible says the rains came and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon it, house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Listen, the only true foundation is this in this life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew chapter 7, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Is Christ your refuge this morning? Can you say that Christ is your sure foundation this morning? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. In a moment we're going to be done. We're going to be finished. We're going to sing a song in just a few moments and close the service down. But let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Like I said before, everybody's heads are bowed and everybody's eyes are closed. Nobody is going to put you on the spot. That's not what I'm trying to do. I want to help you. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, "I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is my foundation for my life today. My faith and trust is in Him, and I raise my hand this morning in testimony of that." Is there anybody here this morning that raise their hand and say, "I know Christ is my Savior"? Hands all over this room. "I know Jesus Christ is my Savior." Thank you. You can put them down. There were some here who could not raise their hand for whatever reason. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, and you're unsure of the foundation in which you're trusting in, you don't know exactly for sure what to believe, where to turn, if you don't know what the Bible says about salvation and how to be saved, I want to pray for you this morning. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning like that would say, "I am not saved. I do not know Christ as my Savior, but I would like you to pray for me because I want to know the truth. I want to know what the Bible has to say about salvation. I want that assurance this morning." Anybody this morning that would say, "Please pray for me"? All right. Christian, if He is your refuge this morning, if He is your foundation upon which you've built your life and you've placed your faith in Him for salvation, let me ask you a question. Is He precious to you this morning? Is He precious to you? Is He the first and foremost important thing in your life today? Or are there other things clouding your mind, clouding your heart? Maybe worldly ambitions, maybe sinful pleasures? What is keeping you from having a closer relationship with your Savior? If He is your foundation, if He is your refuge this morning, where's the love in your heart for Him? We ought to love Him. We ought to appreciate Him. We ought to thank Him for all that He's done for us. We ought to put Him first in our lives. Amen. He wants that place of preeminence in our lives. Does he have it this morning? Does He have that place of preeminence? We're going to sing a song this morning in closing. And if God's spoken to your heart this morning, while Scott's coming and the song begins to play, I want to invite you to leave your seat and come down to this altar. If you need prayer, there'll be somebody here to pray with you. A man with a man, a woman with a woman. And we'll try to help you any way that we can. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you couldn't raise your hand for whatever reason that you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come forward this morning or talk to me, my wife after the service, or somebody else here this morning that can help you know and understand what the Bible has to say about salvation. Scott, would you come and lead us in a song of invitation? And as a song of invitation is sung, would you come? Would you respond?
Pastor made it ever so clear what the real foundation is this morning. And so the song that we're going to sing again is, I Lay in Zion, a Foundation. And the point of fact is, it's the only foundation that we can rely on, as Pastor said this morning. So let's sing it together. 402. Tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste. Make him your cornerstone.
Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful day.